Two quick announcements, music-wise, before we start. If you look on your program, later on we'll be singing Lord of the Dance. And that is the same tune that probably many of you know, but it's the same tune we'll be playing during the processional, so the gift to be simple. So we'll be singing that later. And then one thing I have to teach you real quick is just after reflections from the congregation is, Lord, may God make us a means of your peace. And there's one line in that, the last line of every verse, that we will sing together. And that's very simple, and we'll learn it real quick. And it goes, God make us a means of your peace. Try that. God make us a means of your peace. Very good. That's the last line of every verse, and you'll know when it comes, will not. Afternoon. In Laura's and Richard's name, I welcome you here this afternoon. This beautiful and blessed afternoon. They come here to declare openly their love for one another. We, all of us, are invited here, their families, their friends, their community, to be the witnesses of their declaration and their vows. We come here to pray for them and with them, to join our hearts and our hopes with theirs. We come above all, of course, to celebrate their love. Let us listen prayerfully, hopefully, to the readings that they have chosen. The first reading is from a letter. The letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and it talks about what we're here to celebrate. Love. And now I will show you the best way of all. I may speak in tongues of humans or of angels, but if I am without love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy and know every hidden truth. I may have faith strong enough to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may dole out all I possess or even give up with my body, but if I have no love, I am nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude, nor selfish, nor quick to take offense. Love keeps no score of wrongs. Love does not gloat over others' sins, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. In a word, there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love.
Love one another, but make not a bond of love. Let it rather be a moving sea between your souls. Fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup. give one another of your bread, but eat not from the same loaf. Sing and dance together, and be joyous. But let each of you be alone, even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they quiver with the same music. Give your hearts, but not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. And stand together, yet not too near together, for the pillars of the temple stand apart, and the oak tree and the cypress grow not in each other's shadow. Finally, in the act of loving, we know what life and liberation are all about. We begin with us, in the knowing and caring about who we are. But it is that which moves us toward others that allows us to be fully human, whole, and healed. It is not enough that I know myself if I do not know that sharing, if I do not share that knowing with you. It is not enough that I love myself without caring about what happens to you. It is not enough that we become adjusted or mentally healthy or mature if that does not include an active concern for those around us. For loving allows us to be in the fullest and best sense of what being is all about. The words, I am concerned, I care, I love, are the most important and profound words that we as human beings will ever share. For they link us to each other. They allow us to overcome our pain. Finally, they set us free.
For those I haven't met yet, my name is Ned Murphy. And if you've read your copy of The Common Flame, I'm the slow-witted one that sat between them the first night they met. But in spite of me and my slow-wittedness, they did get together. And it was a great pleasure for me, a joy for me personally, to witness their coming together, the growth of their relationship, and even to share sometimes in the early confusion of that relationship. What impressed me most and what I would like to share with you in that relationship was the quality of the questions they asked. They asked about themselves, about their relationship, in the context of what they were doing, what they wanted to do. Maybe another way of saying it is, what impressed me most was their sense of priorities. Their deep, deep care for one another, which became more and more obvious. But that deep concern in the context of their care for others, their deep care for others, for all others. When we were together, it was for the poor of New York City. People around the country and in our world. Their love, as I saw it, as indeed I experienced it, was not a relationship set side by side, much less in opposition to. Their love for others didn't get in the way of others. In fact, it grew in that very context. As I say, it was the poor of New York City. It was those especially who were being manipulated by the banks, by the large corporations, the poor, and all of us, the three of us and others, in an attempt to come to deal humanly and strongly with the inhuman reality and the menace of the nuclear threat. Their relationship was a joy because in themselves, in that relationship, they personified what is almost a slogan you hear, the deeply human fact that the struggle is indeed one. I know the word struggle sometimes seems to offend people, that they say it's too strong a word, it's too much jargon. But there is a struggle. There is a struggle going on. It's a struggle, first of all, to build good, solid, sane human relationships, responsible human relationships. It is a struggle to ensure that no one, no sister, no brother, no one, goes on being oppressed for the profit of other people. It is a struggle to make certain that this earth, this blessed earth, that this earth's resources be put at the disposal of all the earth's people and not desecrated by being used for the earth's destruction. Laura's and Richard's wonderful relationship shows all of us something else. Something so vitally important and sometimes so often missed, that there is great joy in the struggle. For that, I thank you. Laura and Richard, you mentioned to me that the job of the priest or the minister, the rabbi, is to give advice. Well, I'm hesitant. I'm slow in giving advice. But if I were to say anything, it would be this. Reread that section from Corinthians. Work so that you measure yourself against it, so that your love will indeed be patient. It's a very demanding virtue. We think of it sometimes as being passive. It is not. In fact, one man much wiser than myself once said, it is the revolutionary virtue. Make your love kind. Giving to one another, please, in any struggle, don't forget one another. Keep no list of wrongs. Dear ones, let there be no competition in your relationship. May your love be enduring in faith, in faithfulness, in hope. We all pray for you. We hope for you as you give us hope. It is indeed a hopeful thing that knowing all we know, we can still say, you can still say, yes. Yes to life. Yes to what life means. Yes to the best of life. Thank you. God bless you. Laura and Richard have asked me to ask all of you, please, to share with them your thoughts, your reflections, and your advice.